is the Sensitive CEO Show, igniting sensitive entrepreneurs to grow your heart-centered business. I'm your host, Rose Cox, and this podcast shares with you inspiring and thought-provoking conversations for sensitive entrepreneurs wanting to grow a sustainable online business in a way that feels exciting and aligned with your soul. Along with my carefully curated expert guests, we share science-backed advice, proven strategies, and the systems we use to succeed in our businesses and our lives as highly sensitives, introverts, and empaths. And by the way, if you would like to be updated on when each episode is released, feel free to subscribe to the Short and Sweet newsletter. You'll also get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. To subscribe, pop on over to the website sensitiveceo.show or rosecox.com/pod. Now on to today's show. Hey, it's Rose, and welcome to another episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. And in today's episode, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Melody Wilding. Melody is the author of Trust Yourself, Stop Overthinking, and Channel Your Emotions for Success at Work. And the wonderful topic that Melody is going to be talking about today is all about writing a book. So welcome, Melody.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome. And I would love for you to share with the audience a bit about your background and what you do.
Sure. I came to this work because I was trained as a therapist. So my background is as a social worker. And when I started out my therapeutic career, I noticed that the people I was working with, who tended to be high achievers, very career oriented, what they were struggling with the most was managing their thoughts and emotions as it related to things that were happening for them in the workplace. So I really carved out a niche for myself there and discovered over time that the type of people I was attracting were not just professionals, but they were also highly sensitive professionals, people who struggled with feeling different than their colleagues, with, you know, some of the challenges that come along with our sensitivity, people pleasing, perfectionism, overthinking, but also had strengths that leveraged the upside of their trait. So being very thoughtful, the one on the team who would point out gaps and opportunity, who was a deep thinker and could see the big picture very well. So I really carved a niche out for myself there. And now I've been coaching for over 10 years. As you mentioned, I've written a book and I also teach human behavior at a graduate school here in New York City.
Wow, what an amazing background. And I'm sure you've got so much goodness to offer your clients. But also through your book, I've read your book. I've read it 2 times now because every time I dive into it, I find new, wonderful snippets of information. Can you share with the audience a little bit about what your book's about?
Yeah. Well, Trust Yourself came about because I wanted to give people a manual to working with me. I really wanted to take people step by step through what would the coaching process be like and how could I distill that down into a book. But also, as I went through the writing process, I didn't originally start with this in mind, but I realized through writing that I wrote the book that I needed when I was not necessarily even younger or earlier in my career, just less mature and aware of my journey as an HSP, as that related to navigating my career. So I really wrote the book and the manual that I needed, all of the tools and the strategies for navigating some of those most common challenges.
Wow. And how long did it take to write a book? And I know everyone's different, but how long did it take you, Melody?
Well, the entire process took about 5 years. Now, I want to caveat that with writing the proposal took me the majority of that time. It took me probably 3.5-4 years. And that's because I didn't exactly know what I was writing about. We can talk more about that. But once I had the idea, I had clarity on that. The actual manuscript, so I think it was 80,000 words or 80,000 words when it was all said and done. That took me a little under 8 months to finish.
Wow. So how, like, what actually made you want to write a book in the first place? Mm-hmm.
You know, I, ever since I was a child, dreamed of writing a book, and I thought it was a very far off dream. You know, one day when I have a cottage and, you know, in the woods, I'll sit in my writing cave and produce books. That was this very far off thing. I actually had the opportunity fall into my lap. And I think this is instructive for anyone that wants to write a book, that you have to build a platform first, especially if you want to go the traditional publishing route. So because I had been writing articles, I had been blogging, I had been present online and had been building an audience for several years at that point, I had a publisher approach me actually after a speaking engagement. And so that's what really kicked off this entire process. I ended up in the end going with a different publisher, and the book idea was vastly different than what I started with. But for anyone who's interested in going the traditional publishing route, they're most interested at the end of the day in selling books. So they want to know, do you have people following you that we can sell books to?
Mm, that makes so much sense. I guess they don't want an author to come out of nowhere and not actually have their own audience. And yeah. Well, how did you decide on what to talk about or what to write about?
Yeah, it was a very painful process. And I spent many years really confused and really trying to find what the big idea was. And so one day, in a fit of frustration, I took to a whiteboard and I got a bunch of sticky notes, and I started grouping together the challenges that my clients faced. And I tried bucketing them. And it became very clear to me as I was grouping things together that there were two major camps of challenges. One challenge was really related to high achievement, the perfectionism, putting a lot of pressure on yourself to succeed, almost this addiction to productivity. But then on the other side, there were aspects related to high sensitivity. And it was one of those sort of divine intervention moments where I really did have a flash of insight. And I said to myself, oh, sensitive striver. And I saw it very clearly in that moment. And that became sort of the cornerstone of the book, was defining this personality type of being a sensitive striver, which is being highly sensitive, but also having that high achievement component. And from there, once I had that concept, everything started to click into place, because I had a framework to say, does this idea belong in the book or not? Is it the most relevant, important idea that this person needs to hear? And is it most relevant to their journey of trusting themselves or not? So having that big idea and having that clarity really just made everything so much easier.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I definitely fall into that camp. I am very sensitive, but I'm also a high achiever. And so that's probably why when I first picked up your book, it resonated so much. And I love that you took problems or issues that your clients had that you were able to help with to write a book, because it makes so much sense to write about something that people are struggling with. And I guess one of those other things, I know what comes up for me, I've recently started my new program, the HSP Business School, and my first group that's going through, all of them talked about self-confidence. And that's a big thing for, I guess, not just highly sensitives and introverts, but for a lot of people. Do you have any tips that you could share that would help people with their self-confidence, mainly around their business?
Yeah, this is 100% probably the biggest issue that people come to me for, is imposter syndrome or a lack of confidence, what have you. And definitely you teach what you most need to learn. And in my case, that has been confidence, especially in business. And I have for a long time struggled with doubting myself. Am I good enough? Can I do this? Oh, that launch was a fluke. It won't be like that next time. All of those classic sort of symptoms of a lack of confidence. What I have found as sort of a helpful hack. We could do a whole episode on confidence in itself, but just one helpful tip is separating out the voice of your inner critic from your inner coach. And I think, you know, many of us, we are coaches, we are helpers, we are healers, but we have that very loud voice of the inner critic. I call mine Bozo because it is very annoying and it's quite a nuisance at times. But I also have the voice of a wise inner coach, you know, that intuitive side that's much calmer, that's much more reassuring, that takes things more slowly many times, more deliberately, versus my inner critic is very, everything is urgent, the sky is always falling. And being able to label those and identify them and have a way to work with them more specifically like that has been very helpful to me, because I can see when the inner critic is coming out and say, okay, I see you there, but then have the moment of pause to be more intentional about, okay, what does my inner coach say to me? And what do I really want to believe?
I love that. I love labeling and giving names. So going back to the writing process, Melody, what are some other insights that you can share into the writing process? I know you said it took 5 years, but there's various parts of writing a book.
Yes, that many parts of writing a book. So some of the things that were most helpful to me, not for trust yourself, but I'm actually working on a second book. And something I've found very useful is I have done audience and client interviews. And so I think for the second book, I've interviewed 35 or 40 people and asked them open-ended questions, got their stories, got their perspective. And it has been hugely helpful for guiding the direction of the book, because I'm hearing from people in their own words. How do they describe their challenges? What goals are they trying to achieve? They are providing me with stories that I can use. And of course, they've given me permission to use within the book. And so having those interviews is hugely important. Another thing that has really helped me in both for Trust Yourself and for this new book is having chapter structures. I am someone who without structure, I will overthink everything. And I will go off in a million directions and try to add so much more extraneous information, and a paragraph that should be 4,000 words will be 10,000 words, because I feel like everything is important and someone wants all of the context and all of the information. But having a defined chapter structure, so for example, in Trust Yourself, every chapter starts with a client story. And then there's sort of a description of the tool that we're going to talk about in that chapter. And then there's a strategy that looks at applying that tool. And then we see the client in the story apply that strategy. And there, every chapter ends with an exercise. So I created these templated chapters that then every time I could sort of just plug it in, and mentally and emotionally, it made the writing process so much easier for me, because it felt more like writing blog posts versus this sort of daunting idea of writing a book, which for some reason just feels a lot bigger and scarier.
Yeah, definitely. I love the idea of structuring everything like that. I think it's also another common trait for highly sensitives to be overthinkers. So that's definitely a great idea. Is that something that you intuitively knew to do, or did you do a writing course or read how to write a book?
I did not take a writing course, or I have read some books about writing books, which is very meta. I think Anne Lamont's Bird by Bird is very helpful, again, from the mental emotional side of writing. She has this idea of a crummy first draft, essentially, which is sort of giving yourself permission to brain dump and just get everything out on the page. And I have to do that, because my perfectionist will try to write and edit at the same time. And as I'm writing a sentence, my brain is thinking, this is not good. This sounds horrible. You're not saying what you want to say. And you will completely choke. And there are some days where that gets the better of me and I write 10 words. And there are better days where, you know, I can get 1,000 or 2,000 words down because I let myself it be bad. So I think that's very important. But I will say I do work with essentially a book coach. So someone that I hire independently of the publisher, who is a developmental editor, who can help me think through the structure of the content, how the ideas fit together, how's the flow of the chapter, where might we need stories to plug in. So just having that outside third party, even to be able to talk things through with and just get out of my own head, is absolutely invaluable.
Brilliant. And I think so. There's so many different coaches for different aspects of our business and our life, and having a book coach makes so much sense. And I'm really curious what your second book is. Do you have a title?
We don't have a confirmed title yet, so I can't share that. But it is broadly about taking control of your career path and gaining influence at work while remaining true to who you are. So how do you exercise autonomy, authority, without compromising your values?
Wow, sounds amazing. Yeah. And when do you expect that to be published?
That should be out sometime fall 2024. So quite a long time from now. Yeah,
but still, that's... And when did you start writing it?
This June. So June 2022.
So your writing is getting shorter. The first book took 5 years.
That's right. I feel like now on the first book, I learned many of the mistakes. And I was learning even how to write a book, because it's so different than writing Instagram posts or LinkedIn posts or blog posts even. It's helpful to work in sections, like I mentioned, but then you have to zoom out and think about the arc of the book as a whole. And how is a reader moving through this whole book? And where might they get hung up, or where would they get bored? And it's a very different type of thinking that it just took me some time to wrap my head around.
Something I think is really important as well is being highly sensitive. Do you think there's a link between wanting to write a book and being highly sensitive or even introverted?
I think for many people, yes. I think by the nature of being HSPs, and for those of us who are introverted, we're deep thinkers. You know, I tend to find we're idea people, we're curious, we're more comfortable many times with the written word and expressing our ideas that way, because we can sit with them. We can think before we have to share them with somebody else. So we can chew them over and process before we have to share them with the world. And I think just a book is such a great way to synthesize your experiences or synthesize your knowledge, which, again, for us HSPs, making those connections can really be a great way to exercise our strengths, but also be very fun for us as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. So when you've written your book, obviously you need to promote it. What are some tactics that you can share with the audience on promotion?
Yeah, I think it's very easy to get into the creation process, whether it's a book or a course or whatever you're working on in your business. It's very easy to just go under the hood and toil away building the thing and then come out one day and say, here, I made this for you. But you need to bring people along on the journey. And I could absolutely be so much better at this. I have colleagues who are excellent at it. But I did it somewhat for the first book, which was let people into the process. So documenting a writing day, or giving people updates about my word count, giving people sneak peeks of diagrams or images from the book, or little sneak peeking the cover when it was ready. And so those just little snippets are light touches that keep your audience engaged. It builds excitement and anticipation. I think that was really important, because I had an audience that was waiting for this book. I had sort of hyped it up, and I had seeded it for so long that when it came time to ask people to join the street team or for pre-orders, that they were ready, because they knew about this book. They were excited for it. They were bought into the process. So it's something I have to constantly keep in mind, because I am that person who will just kind of do my own thing and not realize, oh, I should be talking about this. But it's really important to look for those opportunities along the way.
I love that. And do you share that to your email list or social media or both?
All of the above.
Yeah.
So when I was working on Trust Yourself. I shared it more to just broadly social media. But now for this new book, I have an insider team. So I went out to my audience and I said, if you want to be part of a, you know, a special group of readers who helps me build this book, who I look to for feedback, who I can contact if I need interviews or I have questions, who I'll give sneak peeks along the way of the content and you'll get special access to Q&As with me. I have a special group of those people who are on the journey with me, who can then down the line serve as ambassadors for sharing the book.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to ask Melody is finding a publisher. How do you find a publisher? I know that you said the first publisher came to you, but then you changed. Did you say you changed publishers?
Yes. So in traditional publishing, again, there's so many different ways this can work. I have had colleagues who, like myself, a publisher may contact you based on your writing, based on the content that you're putting out there. They may come across it and they may say, hey, we really like what you're doing. Do you want to turn this into a book? Or they may say, we have this book idea. Are you interested in writing this? I've also had that happen to colleagues as well. Or you may have an idea and you may want to approach a publisher. In that case, that can be a little difficult to do on your own. So most people go the route of finding a literary agent first. So you can, you know, there's databases online, or you could Google literary agent, whatever type of, I'm assuming most of the people listening to this will want to do some sort of what's called prescriptive nonfiction, you know, business nonfiction type book. And, or you could do what I did, which is I went to the back of all of my favorite books, and I looked up who their agents were and I contacted them. So an agent will represent you. Your agent is really your advocate and sort of your intermediary between you and the publisher. And the benefit of having an agent is that they are savvy. They know all the inside information about the industry. They understand how to navigate royalties and rights and contracts and all of those sorts of things, as well as give you advice and direction on your proposal and your idea and your drafts. So most people, if you want to work with a big publisher, want to find an agent, someone who is willing to be your advocate and who can open those doors for you, because it can be tough to get into a publisher or get their attention another way.
Mm. Well, so many great tips and yes, so much that you've shared today, Melody. If someone was just starting out, and this is probably a very broad question, but if someone is just starting out wanting to write a book, what steps would you recommend they take?
Yeah, I would say try a lot of things. I don't think I would have landed on my book idea if I hadn't explored a number of different areas within my topic and saw what resonated with people the most. What did people get excited about? What was there the most response to? But then also, what did I enjoy talking about the most? Because you need to realize, whether you traditionally publish or you self-publish, you want to or need to be talking about your book for a year, 3 years, 5 years. You need to be ready to talk about this subject day in and day out. So you better enjoy it too. But I think testing it in different ways. Also, as I was writing Trust Yourself, I would float pieces of the content out there in blog posts or in videos, again, to sort of workshop it for myself in terms of the language, or again, see how it landed with people, if there were certain angles people liked better than others. So I think try a lot of different things. Try to think about what is the underserved area of your niche. So something that was really helpful to me is I figured out, who are the authors that my readers are already reading? What are their favorite books? And what are the gaps that those books are not filling? And I literally did a research project. I went to Amazon and I looked up the 2- and 3-star reviews for all of those books. And I assessed what were people saying about what were those books. Where did they miss the mark? What questions didn't they answer? What else did people want more of or less of? And that can really also help inform what direction you take your book.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And wow, I'm going to have to re-listen to this again because you've shared so many wonderful tips and I'm sure the audience have got so much to take away from this. I have one more question before I let you go today, Melody, which I ask all of my podcast guests. When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
For me, that is the sign that I need to stop. My typical MO used to be that I would try to push through those feelings. If I felt overwhelmed, I would tell myself to work harder and calm down, get over it. You're being dramatic. If I felt unfocused, again, I would say, just get through this. You need to get these things done. And I would force myself to sit in front of my computer or push through that thing. And I've realized that that only prolongs my suffering. And usually whatever I'm working on is worse for it as a result. So when that happens to me, I use that as a signal, as a trigger that, oh, I need to disconnect. I need to get up and take a walk, or I need to do something completely different and rest and reset and come back to whatever I'm doing with fresh eyes.
Brilliant. Well, I'm going to be popping all of your links into the show notes. I'll be popping your book, Trust Yourself, in there. And I also wanted to put the book by Anne Lamont. What was the name of that again, Melody?
It's called Bird by Bird.
Bird by Bird. I'll pop that in as well. So yeah, all your links will be in there. Where would be the best place for people to find you?
You can find me at my website, melodywilding.com. And if you want a free chapter of Trust Yourself, which we talked a lot about today, you can head to melodywilding.com/chapter.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you today again, Melody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you think it would be useful to someone else, please leave me a review on sensitiveceo.show. Just follow the prompt in the menu. Each month, I'm offering one lucky reviewer a chance to win a 1-hour business and mindset audit with me. This in-depth audit covers the 5 pillars of your online business, and you'll walk away with super clear action steps specifically for you and your business. You'll be re-energized and motivated to step into your greatness. You'll also find all of the show notes for each episode on the website sensitiveceo.show. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe to the short and sweet newsletter. You'll get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. And as the name implies, the email is short and sweet. The Sensitive CEO Show, igniting your sensitive superpowers. Mm-hmm.